This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and we are here tonight to talk about a big-time eviction episode from Big Brother Canada 10. We had a blindside. We had a technically underdog win in HOH, and there's a lot to talk about as we run through tonight's very exciting episode. With me to do it is Lavina. How you doing, Lavina?
I'm doing great. You know, we're eating good tonight. We don't, I feel like Big Brother fans, like we just don't ever eat good lately. And if we do have a potential blindside, it can potentially get ruined. And this time it didn't, even though it almost did towards the end. I'm sure we'll get to it, but hey, we got it. So I'm happy.
We got it indeed. Also with us tonight is Melissa. How you doing, Melissa?
I am doing. Yeah.
I didn't forget.
Yeah, well, yeah, I did. Every time I get shocked. Every time I forget. I need to get used to that because it is a good theme.
Look, as soon as you get used to it, it's going to stop.
Oh, well, okay. Then I'll never get used to it. I am looking forward to talking about this one. I feel like I also want to say that yesterday's episode was so good. And I loved it so much. It was my favorite episode of Big Brother in a really long time. And I just felt like it was so well done. The diary room set, I know we're supposed to talk about tonight, but I want to get this out there. The diary room sessions were so realistic. Yeah. Like it just felt like you were listening to their thoughts. Like, I mean, especially with Kyle sitting there, like trying to like parse out the numbers and like, you know, thinking things through and then being like, wait, do I actually, like, there's no way I can convince Moose. Like, and just hearing the thought process, which is what we want from DRs anyway. Like, I literally don't need to hear someone describe the same competition a million times or make some stupid joke, like one-liner or something. Like, I love the ones where you're just hearing their thought process and like what they're thinking. And then, you know, with Marty being like, yeah, so you guys formed some alliance on the side and now you're trying to tell me about it. Like, it was like you got to hear what they were really thinking. And I just absolutely loved it. The editors did an amazing job yesterday, which I guess brings me to today, which is that I was a little disappointed in today's episode just because yesterday's was so good that I was like so looking forward to it and thinking it was going to be like so amazing. And then I just feel like the segment on Gino and Jace, like, just took me out of the entire experience. I was like, what the heck is this about? Why do we care about this? Get them off the screen. I guess now it's relevant because, you know, the HOH, but still, it's like, I just felt like there was so much going on and so much leading up to this blindside. And then it was just like, and now we're going to kiss. I don't know, whatever. It was good overall, but it just wasn't as good as yesterday.
Yes, yesterday was very good. If you did not check out the recap that I did with Asia last night because it wasn't live, I recommend you go check that out. It was very fun. It's very short. And we had a blast with everything that happened there and with all the squirmy babies.
I've dealt with some definitely squirmy babies
and all of that. So, check it out. But, I did say on that recap that I was going to give a lot of leeway to the editors for this episode because there's so much happening this week that's all just like really up in the air. And if there's ever a time for Big Brother Canada to feel like, okay, we can't cover everything,
we're going to just kind of go with one single narrative. I've felt like this is going to be that time. And I do think that they did that decently well in this episode. I thought that basically what they decided to do was focus heavily on Kevin flipping Marty as sort of the, small bit of the larger picture where the entire house was flipping to save Josh. And I thought that worked really well. I think it's probably the most compelling storyline within everything else that we saw. And we didn't need to see like the five different alliances and sub-alliances that were halfway formed in this week, especially since like who knows what's going to happen to him now. And I, you know, I do agree though. The second I saw Jace and Gino on the screen, I was like, "What? Why are we wasting minutes of time?
There's so much to cover.
Not only is it it's a lame showmans, but it's like these are the two least relevant people this week, or at least should have been.
Well, also the least interesting people personality wise. Like, I'm sorry, but you know, hey, a lot of people say Gino's nice to look at. Sure, okay, but. Besides that, there's really not much to go that we're getting from them. So if this is their way of showing, hey, these guys are still in the house, or maybe like, hey, we kind of need a showman, so let's kind of like push something out and the best that we can, if this is all we get out of them, which by the way, I think it is, because they're not giving us any other content. So I think that's really what it is. And if this is the last scene of a showman for the season, I'm good with it.
Yeah,
I mean, you don't find it romantic just watching? Or you're going in for a kiss?
Yes.
Didn't you say why?
Wow, that is then, romantic,
right? And then like, wait, more.
Oh, God. And the way you reached for the camera just now really brought me in it.
Right?
The focus changed.
Yeah, it was literally like hand.
I love it. No.
But now I see the appeal. Okay.
Okay. Well, there you go. I do think that was kind of like the one real dud segment of the episode. I thought, other than that, I thought it worked pretty well. And I do think there were some really compelling parts like that Kevin stuff with
Kevin
Marty.
Yeah, the Kevin stuff was good.
And then we did get a blindside, a proper blindside that wasn't
Steph's
ruined.
Steph's face was perfect.
Oh.
It was great. Oh, that's what you want to see. I hate when people are like, oh, good play, guys. You know, like, okay, whatever. I don't care. I loved when she was just like, her jaw dropped. Yep. My jaw then dropped. I was just like, ah. It was
beautiful.
Very exciting.
Thank you, Steph. Good. You have earned your place on the wall in a future season.
And she didn't want to hug anyone. She just wanted to walk out the door. She didn't give like a little like one-liner before she like went out. It was great. I loved it.
Yes. And we got an HOH in the episode again. Mm-hmm. Love it. Yep. And what a result as well. I mean, I know that I'm sure there are very mixed feelings right now because I think a lot of people have been waiting for Kyle's comeuppance. But in a way, I feel like we got a taste of the comeuppance in this blindside. And this is probably just a stay of execution that is just going to keep the house ridiculously difficult to follow an update, but also probably pretty exciting. I mean, let me tell you, with Gino winning this HOH, the house tonight is going to be like a bus station full of buses because everyone's getting thrown under those buses at every second of the night tonight. This person's the one that was flipping the house. It's this person's fault. No, I wouldn't have flipped if it wasn't for this person. I don't know what to do.
Just keep going higher and higher.
Send
with
help. Somebody.
No, I agree. I literally like when it was down to like Gino and a couple other people, I was like, oh God, not Gino. We can't have Gino. And then I was like, of course Gino's going to win this and he wins. And I was at first upset, but then the more I thought about it, the more I was like, no, this makes for a not easy week. I feel like if anyone else had won, it's an easy week. It's like, okay, everyone's pissed at Kyle. Let's put up Gino and Kyle because Gino's his friend. Let's get Kyle out. Okay. The end. But this makes it so much better because Kyle's still going to be upset. He's not going to be thrilled, but now it's like, and it's like the other side of the house, quote unquote, the non-Kyles of the house got their way this week. But now it's like, okay, now this next week, you know, if Gino sticks with Kyle, then they're going to get their way. Like, and especially because Gino and JC Lynn probably feel like they were made to look a fool. because they were the only two that voted. So they were clearly on the outs. Now it's like they have some power again. They can take it back on the other people. Then the other people will want to take it back on them. I feel like it's so much more interesting than if we just had a straightforward week moving forward. Like, okay, now we get out Kyle. It's like when they got out Frenchie, and then it's like, oh, okay, well, that's done then. All right, moving on to something boring. It's like, no, it's like it keeps the excitement, I think.
Yeah, I think that it's extremely compelling storytelling. I'm pretty sure that the Big Brother Canada people, the producers and editors, are super excited about this because it's just a great story. Because like you said, you took the words right out of my mouth, Melissa. Like, why would we want it? Even like, you know, I'm taking an excuse to talk about Betty here. Betty could have easily won that HOH. And there's a really good chance that she would have just been hardcore targeting Kevin. And I mean, it's kind of exciting, sure, because Betty and Kevin are very entertaining, and the whole Steve Moses and like Becky of it all is very hilarious. But is it super compelling storytelling? I wouldn't say so. So
I was actually worried that if Betty won, she would just try and take Kevin out, and then that's it.
Oh, yeah.
And people would just be like, oh, okay, like, yeah, I guess let's get Kevin out. Like, that's an easy thing to do. And I would hate that. I don't want Kevin to go. I want Kevin to stay. So, you know, I was at first rooting for Betty because, you know, just the way that she was behaving in the HOH was so fun and exciting. Like, every time she got a question, she was just like, ah, like she was about to burst, which is also like juxtaposed versus Gino, where Gino was just literally he won and he's like,
yeah.
Nothing. Blank.
Nothing at all. This is what I'm talking about. No personalities whatsoever. They got to get something out of him. Mm-hmm. I feel bad for them for this whole next week. Editing wise.
And Gino is also, as Arissa mentioned, you know, they're like, how many, 9 separate people have been on the block now? You know, 3 per HOH. And Gino is now the 7th separate person to win a competition. Nobody has been able to win more than one competition so far all season long. That's and that great. I think is absolutely a testament to, you know, what they've done with the competitions. And it's absolutely why I think we're seeing such a fluid house, because no one power structure has been able to, you know, consolidate, solidify. I mean, they should have with this Kyle HOH. But again, like I mentioned this morning, that like how many Kyle Moores have been out there in Big Brother history that just never had a chance to unleash their inner Kyle Moore because they never won HOH, right? Like, maybe there were hints of it, but you never would have known until they won and they were like, yes, now it's time. And so you want as many different HOHs as possible. And we finally struck gold on one of them. And here we are. I mean, there's a chance that Kyle Moore could be our first 2-time competition winner come next week.
Oh my God. Honestly, like people want to sit there and be like, oh, Kyle's so terrible. Let's get him out, blah, blah, blah. But we should be so grateful to Kyle because he did this. If he stuck with the plan and kept together this 7-person alliance, they could have absolutely just steamrolled everybody else and just picked off everyone on the outsides and been like, yeah, well, why not? Let's just win everything. And it would have been an easy run to the end for them. And instead, Kyle blew that up. And he did it for us. So, you know, you're welcome, Twitter.
Well, I did it for him, I think.
I mean, now I had a really weird thought. Maybe it's not so weird. Tell me if it is. Has this been his plan all along, to create a majority alliance? And he knows that we don't like majority alliances most of the time. And he's like, you know what? Let me blow that up immediately.
Yeah, he's like, Twitter's not going to like this. You think my Twitter people are going to like this big, giant majority alliance steamrolling a season? No.
Yep.
I'm going to be the hero. Yeah,
I think you're both currently embodying what it means to be a Kyle Moore, because that is probably what he will claim once he's evicted from the house.
Don't he better credit me.
Definitely no, not true. Say,
you heard it here first.
Yes. Clip this. Please.
Yeah. Oh boy. All right. Well, there's a lot to get into here tonight. Speculation on Gino's HOH. We'll talk about the blind side. Let's talk about some of the highlights from the episode as well. We had a brief recap. We went back to the moment where Moose wins the veto. And he says to Kyle,
"Power Frito, baby."
Check.
Check.
Love it.
And I really wanted, when Arissa read the votes by a vote of 9-2, and she said, "Josh, you are safe." I really wanted Moose to stand up, give Kyle a hug, and say, "Mate." Right?
Maybe he right. did. Yeah, he might have. We just maybe didn't catch it. Yeah. Yeah, and then we'll see it on the episode.
I guess if he did do that, he'd be in extra trouble this week. So
maybe yeah, maybe this is not the time. Yeah.
True.
Yeah, maybe it would have been a bit premature. But anyway, we're going to see.
Wait till he wins HOH.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to see a recap of what happened. And we see that Josh has been nominated. Josh is not pleased. The person that is the least pleased is Betty, and she wants to talk with Kevin about, you were acting weird yesterday. Did you know? And Kevin says to us, he doesn't want to show his cards quite yet. He says, "I don't want to say," and she's like, "Unbelievable. I knew it." And this was a point of contention between the two of them later. I'm surprised they didn't bring because this is very funny, but, she didn't yell. She was right. No yelling. I don't necessarily blame Kevin for feeling like she yelled at him, considering the words. he says, I need you to act like you hate me. I need you to fake that you hate me.
I do hate you.
It is literally
you told me I was
insane.
A terrible person. Yeah, and I meant that.
She's one of my favorite casting choices of the season so far, and not even for like incredible gameplay. That's really not what I look for personally. I just look for Betty's. That's what I look for. So I'm very content with her.
It's so bad. And then her DR where she's like, "Nobody tells me what to do." It's like, oh my God, he's trying to help you. Like he's trying to think of that would be the perfect situation to have like someone who you think like everyone thinks you hate each other. Like people aim for that in the game is like yeah. to have someone that everyone thinks he hate each other. Turns out they've been working together all along. And she's just like, yeah, no, I hate him. And no one's going to tell you can't tell me to hate you. It's like, I'm going to hate you already. It's like, yeah, well, oh my God.
Imagine you're in Betty's shoes and there's just somebody you really hate. Somebody you really, really hate. And they go up to you and they go, "This is great. Keep pretending you hate me." You're saying you wouldn't just be like,
"I do hate you.
What are you talking about? You don't get to claim my hatred. This isn't fake.
I despise you. Why does she hate him so much? I don't get it.
That's the real question.
Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. It's like,
if Taryn doesn't know,
yeah, if Taryn doesn't
none of us know.
Know. Obviously, we're not going to know.
She hates him because he's a bad boy.
I'm a bad boy. I'm
oh my
a bad,
God.
Bad boy.
All right, we're reaching. We're reaching.
Bad boy.
Because he's a snake.
I'm actually just going to slither through.
She feels like she sees through him. And he's also somebody that can't really, I think, you know, fight back. And I think that's kind of what he's saying to her too. Like, I'm easy to vent your frustrations on. And she's like, "How dare you point out what I'm doing?"
It's so bad. I'm so glad he can like take it. Cause I feel like if it was really like anyone else, I don't know, it'd either be a fight. Like if they would actually fight, they'd be like pissed or they'd be sad. Like if someone was just like, "Yeah, I hate you. You're a bad person." Like, I'd probably feel sad about it. Like, I don't know if I could just like let it like roll off my back. I probably would be upset. So good for Kevin.
Yeah. It's an incredible dynamic between the two. And I'm so glad that they've decided to bump heads. They've given us a very big treat for that.
It does definitely make them more interesting. Like, because it's just so confusing. It's like, okay, all right, I'm intrigued.
Yes. So we're going to get a few different scenes of different people kind of struggling with the decision of should we keep Josh? Jess wants to keep Josh. Jess tells Josh. And this was, if you didn't watch the feeds, this was sort of the theme of the rest of this week was a lot of people going up to Josh and saying, "I am definitely a vote to keep you, but you can't tell anyone. You can't tell anyone." I mean, so many people said that to him. We're going to see Jess do it here. We're going to see Helena struggle with the decision, seemingly going back and forth. She was kind of going back and forth. But the thing here, though, is that, like, even though a lot of people were thinking this is kind of a tough decision for me, it was never really a question that Josh would be staying, because there were already so many people who were locked in, even if they didn't look like they were locked in. So the people who were, like, struggling were like, it doesn't look like there's enough votes locked in, so I might need to go with the other side. But they really wanted to do it. And you could see a scenario somehow where, like, enough people didn't think the votes were there because nobody trusted each other enough mm-hmm. to say they were, that it might not go through. But at the end of the day, there were just too many votes and too much anti-Kyle sentiment, in the air for anything to happen. And so we do get some of Summer kind of organizing a lot of this as well. And she really is the person who has benefited the most from all this nonsense. A lot of people coming to her with a lot of the anti-Kyle stuff and the campaigning for Josh stuff. We did see her being pretty blatant during the speeches, the eviction speeches. Steph's was pretty tame, but Josh is going to say,
thanks to the fearless and powerful leadership of Kyle, I have found myself on the block this week. It is time under this kingdom that we find a new power here.
And as he's saying that, Summer's like, yes, like nodding her. And I was like, uh-oh, is the blind side ruined? But no, Summer is just very open about this.
Oh my God. I mean, you know what I was thinking though, is that, like, it should make everybody kind of worried that when Josh gets put on the block, people are crying. Like, right. That would freak me out if I was in the house and I was like, okay, this guy is so beloved that people are, like, crying and really upset. Like, and even after the ceremony, like, JC Lim was crying and, like, Jess was crying and, like, and Tanisha was crying. Like, everyone was really upset about it. And it's like, okay, like, clearly this guy is, like powerful because he's so well-liked.
Listen, you sound a lot like Kyle Moore again. That's something I'd hear Kyle say.
I'm just saying he
did
is.
You see? Did you see?
That would freak me out.
No, I hear you. I hear you. Yeah, no, it is a good sign. It reminds me a lot of, like when Judd went up in 15.
Right.
That, like, everyone was so sad. And I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah, that's, like, not good. That's not usually the case that people are, like, sobbing. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
So that's we got all of that stuff. We also saw the Marty is starting to feel some doubts, starting to feel like I don't know if I can trust this group. I don't know if I'm being kept in the loop, even though he was very grateful to Kyle initially. And we also are going to see Kyle propose the Village Voice name for the Alliance. And Marty could not appear less enthused by this entire concept. Kyle's like, and then we'll do like this. And Marty's like, sure, yeah.
Like, enough with the hand motions.
How does Kyle, at this point, not understand that his alliances that he's making with everybody mean nothing anymore? Because clearly, like, being in an alliance with Kyle is is meaningless because he'll just put you up on the block anyway. And in fact, maybe it's worse for you. So like, I just don't understand why he's like, okay, well, like these two alliances that we made, they're done. But now it's to these other ones. Like, you don't make a new alliance every 2 seconds. Like, you're supposed to stick with your alliance. And if you can't stick with your alliance, you know, then it's over for you. I don't know. It just feels like, it feels, I don't know, delusional, I guess, to just like keep making alliances.
Like, sorry, Kyle, but I actually would prefer to not be in an alliance with you, considering that your pool of targets consists primarily of people you're in alliances with.
But the thing is that you're wondering why he's not noticing. I don't think he's noticing anything he's been doing all week. I truly believe that him and the DR is authentically how he feels. Like the DR, like we said in the beginning, the DRs have been pretty authentic. This is Kyle. Like, he 100% believes that what he's doing will take him, make him a legend or whatever he's been saying. 100%.
Yeah. And he's very focused on like what he's doing. He's just not seeing the forest through the trees here. And then, you know, we get this weird, awkward moment when Kevin comes out and they're like counting votes. And he says, stop counting me, bro. I'm not a vote. But we are going to see Kevin really pushing more for Marty to pull away from the guys. And he uses this argument. He says, hey, Canada's not voting to save you unless you are in some kind of danger. Unless people are talking about you. I think that there's reason to believe Canada is trying to send you a message. You can't trust, Kyle, essentially. And this kind of lands with Marty. I think we also have to give credit to Josh because, Marty talks to Josh and Josh talks about how he, really wants to go to the end with, an older player. He has a lot of respect for the older players and this resonated a lot with Marty. He talked about this statement a lot with Kevin later that he felt like it was genuine from Josh. And we hear from Josh in the diary room that it is genuine. And then Kevin, is going to kind of close the deal here with Marty, saying like, let's make this happen. And this is a great segment for the show. I mean, I think Kevin knows exactly how to portray this in a way that's compelling. And seeing Marty, you know, flip in the way that he does, going from proposing Josh as a backdoor, thanking Kevin for making it happen, to completely flipping around, going against Kyle, or thanking Kyle for making it happen, going against Kyle and now being a vote to save Josh and wants to work with him to the end of the game. Like this is great stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I can speak for myself. I've had a pretty busy week, so I haven't really looked at the feeds. And the one concern that I have with Big Brother Canada is the way they edit their shows. And in the past there have been like, you know, famously Big Brother, or I guess infamously Big Brother Canada 6, told like none of the story. And if you didn't watch the feeds or listen to live feed updates, you would have no idea what's going on in the house. So when I saw this as a very quick, easy, I guess, summary of what happened and the way that it was edited was extremely compelling for a person like me who had a busy week in a crazy HOH where who knows what Kyle's going to do or how the vote's going to land, that it was extremely well done. That I agree, Tara, that was probably the best segment of the show for me personally, besides the actual blind side, but yeah.
Yeah, it was just very, very fun and to see Kevin kind of be like, yes, this is what I've been waiting for. Like it's time to flip this thing wide open. It's great stuff. And it leads into the eviction where, by the way, I loved, I thought Arissa was like, it felt like she was speaking to us directly when she said, that, the HOH results would be tonight. She said,
we will find out tonight.
Tonight. Tonight, guys. Like, yes, thank you. You know what we want.
And I just want to quickly say, that I thought that what Kevin did was really impressive. I think that, you know, thinking of it that way, like it's easy to just be like, oh yeah, Canada likes you. Okay, let's move on. But to be able to spin that into like, well, you must be in danger. I don't know. Maybe just think about it. Like I'm just looking out for you. I think that that is really smart. It's like, it's weaponizing Canada's vote. You know, I just feel like it was a really smart move, and it really worked with Marty. And I mean, like, I understand where it could have just been completely legit that he thought, like, well, he must have been voted for because he's in danger. But, like, you know, obviously he wasn't really. People just voted for him. But I think that to use that and be like, something must be up, I don't know, I'm just putting it out there. I just think it was really, really well done. Very impressive.
Yeah, and the result is really good as well, right? Where he locks in Marty as a vote against them. He doesn't need the vote at this point. They've got plenty. But by doing that, he's adding another person that's turning on Kyle and Gino and Jace. Mm-hmm. Another person to sort of shoulder the blame, as well as keeping Marty in his confidence during the flip, where normally you'd have to sort of like that relationship would need to be repaired. Now they're in on it together. If anything, it's stronger than ever. So very good on multiple fronts here.
Yeah. And even just like the way it was done too, like with the more planting the seeds along the way where it was like, and kind of couching it as like, I'm worried Kyle just thinks of me as a nerd that he can tell what to do. Or like, I'm worried that, you know, he thinks that you're a dumb old man. And like, I just am worried about these things. Like, and kind of just like putting it in his mind, like rather than going to Marty and being like, Kyle clearly is using you. He thinks you're just a dumb old man, you know, blah, blah, blah. But like using it as kind of just like, you know, I've been thinking. And these are just thoughts I have, like take it or leave it, and not being so, and not really pressuring him, but letting Marty come to the conclusion himself. I feel like so many past Big Brother players who have been really, really good have, especially, I mean, like someone like Derek, for example, would always make you think that whatever he wants to happen was your idea. And I feel like that's the way to do it, is kind of just like let the person come to their own conclusion, but kind of guide them in the direction that you want. And I just felt like it was really well done.
Yeah, it's great stuff. And it leads us into this eviction vote where we are going to see that the blind side was not ruined. There was talk of the blind side being ruined. Tanisha wanted to tell Steph ahead of time because she had promised her that she would. But she either changed her mind on her own or she was talked out of it because they were definitely blindsided. We saw mm-hmm. Jace and Gino vote to evict Josh, thinking that was going to go through. We did see a couple of hand signals. We saw the true fuse. I don't know, like the what's there? This is ridiculous at this
it's
point.
It's like a little peacock or something.
It's a T and an F, but like it's terrible. And
it's not.
And
it's not.
As you saw, most of the people in this alliance probably barely consider it an alliance at this point. It's very new. But Herman is trying. He's trying to get something back together. He's like, remember this? Remember how exciting that was? Like, what about this?
What about fun stuff? Remember alliances?
So sorry. I mean, it's better. It's much, at least for me, it's better than the constant shout outs that I'd rather get a quick hand signal and keep it moving.
I love the hand signals. I love them. It's a great indication of where people's heads are at. And I love the fact that like so many people are doing different hand signals. It's just further proof that this house is all over the place. I think it's great. And the lack of shout outs is so good as well. I mean, I get that sometimes I feel like, you know, sometimes it's like, you're being nitpicky. Let them do their shout outs. But I really do think it makes a huge difference in the tone of the episode when there's not shout outs. And there were some, but they were pretty quick. Like love you person. And like those, that was like as bad as it got. And only a couple people did that. It wasn't like going down the laundry list of like, all right, shout out you, shout out this, shout out my business, shout out my podcast. Like the end of one of these podcasts kinds of shout outs. I really enjoyed that as well. We get the votes. It's 9-2. And we also, thank you, we got the reaction shots. We did not waste these reactions. We saw Steph's face.
Mm-hmm. Draw, drop.
We saw Kyle like we saw Josh kind of just like, oh boy. And we saw Jace like, what? great stuff. I love it.
You forgot about Gino, who was
Oh,
giving
yeah,
us a lot of nothing.
Yeah, stone faced.
The same nothing. Face that he made when he won HOH.
Yeah. You never know what he's thinking.
Oh, man. Truly. Could you imagine if Gino would, if Gino reacts to the blind side, like, and then in the HOH, every time he gets a question, he's like, okay. And then the second he wins the HOH, he's just like, that's right! Yeah. That's right, you know how I'm doing?
I'm doing just fine! They can't do it just fine.
Yeah, it would have been very out of character, I think. This is classic Gino.
Just a little bit, yeah. You know?
Tiny bit out of character.
Yeah.
It's so strange to me that, like, he just didn't even... There was nothing when he won HOH. Like, I get the blind side. Maybe you're trying not to show anything because you're trying to, like, pretend, like, okay, I'm fine. This is fine. We're good. But, like, when you win HOH, like, even just, like, a little smirk, like, a little... Nothing? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, if this had been, you know, Janelle winning this HOH, we know what would have happened.
You already know. I tweeted about that during the episode yesterday. Oh, yeah. Same quote. But what's funny about Gino is that a lot of people in the first couple of weeks were like, oh, he's playing a really good, like, under the radar game. No one's looking at him. And at this point, I just feel like it's because he's not talking ever. Like, that's The game's not there, is what it is.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how that translates to an HOH reign in a spot where he just got blindsided by the vast majority of the house.
Yeah, I'm interested to see whether he is like, whether he doubles down and is like, okay, clearly they're against us. Like, Kyle, JC Lynn, like, what are we going to do? Let's figure this out. We're in this together. Or if he's just like, I wasn't part of this Kyle thing. I hope you're not associating me with him. Like, if you want to get him out, let's get him out. It doesn't matter. Like, I'm wondering if he just, like, kind of, like, pretends like he's not with Kyle, or he, like, doubles down on being with Kyle and being like, everyone's against us. I don't know.
Yeah. What an exciting HOH competition as well, where, I mean, we very quickly lose Herman, and I felt like Herman probably would have been the most boring HOH because he would have tried to lock everyone into a new structure, and everyone understands Kyle's going home. Let's plan out the next 4 weeks. And so that didn't happen right away. And then we quickly lose some people, and like, it gets down to like Kevin, Marty, Betty, Gino, Moose, and I'm like, literally every single one of these people would be a fire HOH, except for Gino, unless he's in this position, right? Like, Gino's position could make this an interesting HOH, and sort of Marty as well, like, because of his position, could make this an interesting HOH. And then they were just getting him right and right. I will criticize that. I felt like the camera shots were terrible.
I was so confused where everybody was. I at one point thought like Moose had been eliminated, and then it turned out he was just like on the side.
Uh-huh. Why are we getting two separate shots?
Yeah, why not just show the whole thing? Like, I don't
just show the wide. Yeah. We don't need to read higher or lower.
Right,
we can visually see when they step up or down.
Yeah, like I get showing close-ups of someone like Betty or whatever, like when she's making the faces and stuff, but then pull out to a wide. You don't need to cut to then two, then the other two, then one, then two. It's like, just show everybody.
It was very confusing.
Yeah, well, I also thought that the close-up shots of Betty, like, while I get why it was on her for so long because she was fidgeting and going crazy and stuff. Like, I relate to that completely, but it was on her like the entire time. I'm like, what is everyone else doing? I get Gino's up there. He's not giving us anything, but like, I want to see how Moose is doing. Moose gives us a lot. So, and I do want to say that I actually found myself kind of rooting for Marty because granted he had already been HOH. So that's kind of boring in and of itself, but the position that he's in right now, he's got I guess he already did choose with his vote, but like to Kyle on his side of the house, Marty's got to choose a side and he could easily try to swing back to the Kyle isms of it all. Or he could just be like, hey man, this is just how it is now. And that would also cause chaos. So I was rooting for that, but you know, I guess Gino's kind of similar, but Gino was also blindsided and Marty wasn't. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, I wonder how everyone's going to handle it. Like, I wonder if it's going to be like look, I was with you guys. I wasn't trying to lie to you, but they came to me and they said the numbers are here. So I just had to go with it. Like, yeah. I feel like that could be the big like line that everyone says. Although the one thing I would question if I was Gino and Jace is like, okay, I get that you voted the other way, but like, why didn't you tell me? Like, so that way we could have voted with you. Like, why did you leave the two of us out? And I feel like that's going to be what they have to like deal with and what they have to come up with this story on is like, I wanted to save myself. So I voted with the house, but I left you guys out cold. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I did love watching Betty during the HOH. Just, you know, business.
This is Business B. Let's get it.
Business B. she's like, she's standing outside the door of a big meeting. Business B. She's like, it was great. But yes, with Gino as the HOH, I fully expect so many people are getting thrown under the bus, which is exactly why, like, the amount of work that somebody like Herman was trying to do to like mask his involvement in all of this and keep Kyle in the dark so that in the event that Gino wins, he will be covered. Like, you have to understand that that's never going to work. It's never going to last because the people who Gino ends up targeting are not just going to lie down and die. Mm-hmm. They know that you voted for Josh to stay. They know that you were in on it the whole time. If Gino says, I'm targeting Summer and Tanisha because they clearly led the vote to keep Josh, and the only reason Herman went along with it is because the votes were already not there and he just didn't have time to tell me. And he says, Summer and Tanisha, sorry, I'm nominating you because of that. They're going to go, oh, you didn't know? Herman was a part of it the whole time. And a bunch of people are going to corroborate that information. And then Herman has to go and be like, not only did I vote against you, but I was spearheading it. And I was saying that you're a psychopath and that I want to backdoor you all week long. Like you can't get away with that. You need to like lock it in with these people ahead of time. So
well, also, Herman, plus, like, what was Herman's like plan? Like there were only two votes for Steph and like,
he thought there'd be more.
And like, clearly it's like, you think Gino's going to believe that it was your vote and not his vote or not like Jace's vote. Like, obviously we know who voted for it. So her. So like, I mean, I just feel like they have to come up with a better story than like, that's my vote because that's not going to work. Or like, oh, I didn't know till last minute because like, that's not believable. Like everybody's going to say, no, we all knew about this. Like, you know, and then just like, I can't, I don't know. I guess like, maybe like, I thought you knew. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, you know, I thought everyone knew. I thought everyone was saying, don't say anything. So I thought everyone was telling each other and that it was like, we all knew. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think what makes, going back to what I said about this being compelling storytelling, is that what sets this apart of other, we've seen obviously like Big Brother 20 blindside type deals, but you know, we've seen other ones at like recently as well. But of course, some people knew about it. This time, the people that knew about it, like did not let it, like it was a straight up blindside. Like it was an authentic blindside. So I think now what happens is that I think we need to also think about just the flat out social implications of it. Like, how is this going to affect like someone like Herman's social game? You know, it's going to be like, well, you didn't tell me you were being a bad friend to me. I could totally see Jace feeling that way towards him, and same with Gino. And I think that that's also what makes this HOH so incredibly, I keep saying this word, but compelling, is that they have everyone scrambling like, you know, little like ants running around, like on the ground. Like they're like scrambling to figure out, how am I going to make up a story and an excuse for what I did and could potentially make my friends upset with me? And that's real. That's, you know, for me, it's the foundation of it all. It's like, you could have easily told me this right before and I would have had more respect for you. Could be the way that Jace and Gino potentially could be thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like Herman is really potentially in some hot water here because he also tried to set up passing the buck ahead of time, saying like, I don't know, Kyle, I'm obviously with you, but I think we might need to worry about Jess. We might need to worry about Kevin. Like, I wonder if they're going to flip. Like, he was clearly intending to blame a flip on them, thinking that it was going to be something like a 6-5 or even a 7-4 vote. And then it comes in 9-2. And, you know, if the thing is, there's so much to think about and take in for Kyle, Gino, and Jace that not all of it's going to be considered. But if they think about it, there's a very real possibility that they're like, okay, so Herman really thought he was going to play us for fools here. Mm-hmm. Like he really was playing us the whole time. So there's a lot of stuff that could happen here. I think there's a lot to try to speculate with Gino HOH, because now, before the blind side, he had mentioned that he would put up Moose and Tanisha if he won the HOH, thinking that Moose is still their biggest threat on the board, that he's the only one that would come for them, and that Tanisha is, you know, they've always kind of been after Tanisha to some degree. And that made sense at the time. The real question is, does he stick with those nominations, or does everything change now that the entire house is turned on them? You would think that everything changes, but again, with so much information, sometimes you just, you board up the windows and you go, I'm just going to stick to what I thought was I was going to do before. And so there's a very real chance that it's Moose and Tanisha or something along those lines. I think another thing that would point toward Moose being the target is that Moose doesn't have any support on the other side. And so if they're going to start throwing somebody under the bus, Moose is a very easy option to do. Throw Moose under the bus. They're already skeptical of Moose. They were already thinking of targeting Moose. Yeah, Moose was, you know, spearheading a vote. Moose was saying this. Moose was saying that. We will support you if you do Moose. You will be back in our good graces, so on and so forth. The house will support you. It's a very sort of easy trap to fall into if you're Gino and Kyle and Jace. So Moose is a definite option here. Then there's the, okay, we feel very betrayed option. And that's like Herman or Marty or Kevin, the people that you really felt like they were with you and they turned their back on you. Even potentially Helena could be in that mix as somebody that promised their vote. Jess even could be in that mix. But, you know, I would assume it's more the guys because they've been even tighter in that core. And they'd feel most betrayed by them if they wanted to go that route. That doesn't usually happen, because usually the fact that you had that close relationship to begin with means that if you have nobody else, you might as well just try to go back to the person you had a close relationship with and like iron out like what made the relationship fail in the first place and try to figure out how to get back to where you were. But that's a possibility. And then you have the possibility of, okay, Summer is the person that potentially led this charge. We're hearing from Steph out of the house that she got the sense in the eviction, ceremony, in the votes during the speeches, that Summer was potentially leading this charge, which she kind of was because she was nodding along. That Summer might have been the one behind this. And if they're really smart, they might recognize that, but they might recognize that Summer is a very dangerous player in this game now, because she's probably the most connected person. They could go after Summer and Tanisha, feeling like they were the ones that spearheaded the vote. Or they could even just go straight back after Josh, feeling like he's the one that masterminded the whole thing. So if you didn't notice, I'm pretty sure I just named the entire house minus maybe Betty.
Well, wait, did you say that the option of Kyle, of them just
right? I forgot saying, about that one.
Yeah, that's a very I was waiting.
This is Big Brother Canada 10. But if you turn back time to Big Brother 10, classic move right out of the gate. The entire house comes together, goes to old Jerry's HOH room, and they say, Jerry, we know you think you're working with Dan and Brian, but this Brian guy, he's no good. He's got to go. And if you do our will, if you do the will of the house, then we will let you back in, and you'll be in a good place. But you got to drop this guy. He's no good for you. Definitely a possibility that they could attempt something like that with Gino. And it's actually pretty surprisingly effective if you do that. The force of social pressure should never be underestimated. I don't know that there's a unified enough group to make that happen, though, because they all would need to come together and all do it together, and they don't trust each other. I think there's going to be a lot more throwing each other under the bus than something like that.
Yeah, I don't see somebody like Marty agreeing to something like this, because he wants to stay as hidden as possible, even though he's really not hidden at least from what I can tell, he's not hidden of the choice that he made today to vote for who he did. I don't think that that will happen. This is relying heavily on the fact that Gino has really got his head in the game, could prove us wrong, but him and Jace could put their heads together and think, okay, well, there's a reason that they all did this. Like, who's the common denominator? And that's Kyle. So hopefully they won't, I mean, maybe not hopefully, but for their games, maybe they could potentially come to the conclusion on their own without everybody needing to do so. I think that's the most likely scenario if Kyle is the one who gets put on the block. And I also think that it would be really funny because Kyle would give us excellent TV. So, you know, like you said, you named the entire house and there's a lot of options for us. So this is actually a really good outcome.
Yeah. Not to mention the fact that basically to this point, Kyle has been in charge of the decision making between him and Gino. That Gino really respects Kyle's mind. He thinks that Kyle's very smart and he's been following Kyle's lead. So another question to ask this week is, has Gino's confidence in Kyle's leadership been shaken? Will he say, all right, Kyle, I know you want me to put up five different people, but I don't know if you're the best person to make the call here anymore after what happened? Or is he going to fall back into those patterns? And is this going to be a second week of Kyle HOH? Like, is Kyle going to potentially run the Gino HOH? I think that's it's a possibility at the very least. And if that is the case, then, watch out.
Yeah, God help us. I think that, you know, the question is does Gino feel like we were betrayed, or does he feel like, okay, the house is upset with you and I'm associated with you, so I need to get away from that? Like, I feel like like I said earlier, he either like retreats back in or like pushes away. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, what he decides to do. I really don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we have seen hints on the feeds that, that potentially Gino is willing to reconsider his connection to Kyle. He talked with Summer about not wanting to be associated with some of the messiness of Kyle's HOH reign. So, that is again, a hint that he might go in that direction, but oftentimes people just say that, when in reality they are still pretty locked in. So, there's really so many different ways this could go. If I were to try to predict what the most likely option would be, it would not surprise me if Moose was the intended target. As I said, I think that there are a few different things that point toward that would lend toward that result. But it really could be anything at this. And that would obviously be a terrible idea. Like, for all the reasons why it might happen, because so many other people would support it, that's why it's such a bad idea. Like, at this point in the game, you need to carve something out yourself. You can't appease a house that just screwed you over. If they all like the thing that you're doing, then you're doing the wrong thing. So there, I mean, that's where we are. What a week, what an end of the week. Yeah. There's so many options in front of us. This absolutely could end up being a boring, straightforward week with Gino at the helm. But at this moment, at the very least, and for tonight, as we figure out what's happening and where all the information is going to go, there are so many options in front of us, so many paths that can be taken. And hopefully we go down that route. Hopefully we don't see Kyle and Gino just kind of like give up, like, oh, let's just put last week behind us and try to start fresh. Like, no, we want to see inquisitions. Mm-hmm. We want to see retributions. like, we want to see what happens here. No, don't just ignore it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I also think that there, really quickly, there's also a scenario of Gino continuing his streak of not talking ever and, you know, just confiding in Jace and, you know, I guess potentially Kyle, maybe not, who knows, like we said. And it could eventually cause more chaos on the feeds because nobody knows what's going on. And it's really just a game of okay, well, Gino told this person, he kind of told me this name, he was kind of acting a little weird. So it could be a chance of that. So maybe we'll get another crazy week, not as crazy as this week, but, you know, hopeful.
Yeah. Well, we have a couple of questions here. One from Joseph who asks, should Gino go with the house or use this HOH to make a new majority alliance? And this is kind of what we've been talking about. But I think it's worth really like nailing down again that in Gino's position, like, yes, the whole house just betrayed him and his two closest allies. And he's completely on the outs, but he just won this HOH. And now there's an entire house worth of people who, if he gives them rope, they will hang themselves. They will betray each other. They will throw each other under the bus. And a savvy player would be able to use that to make all kinds of new cracks in the other side of the house and use it to create something new. Like, hey, I know you all came together under a common cause of saving Josh, but now I'm being told that it's all your fault, that you were the one that was leading it. What? I was the one that was leading it. Who said that? Well, Herman told me that. That's not true. Herman is the one that was leading it. And now you've created a new mortal enemy, right? Like a new people who are now fighting for their lives against each other. That's a new crack to exploit. Hey, you need help fighting Herman? Well, Herman has all these people. Here's the thing. I'm in power right now. I can take a shot there, but I'm going to need your support. I'm going to need to create a new group over here. And you know, you can do something like that. Now, is Gino a savvy player? Probably not.
That's the question.
But what should he do? Absolutely, he should do that. In my opinion, the answer is never to go with the house, appease the house. I think you always want to try and make your own mark, especially in a position like this. They should not be viewing this as a stay of execution, which it might be. They should be viewing it as a massive opportunity to take hold of the game. That's actually something from the episode that I wanted to bring up, which is when we got Helena going back and forth about her vote, we saw her in the diary room say that she hated this HOH reign. It was terrible for her game. Prior to Kyle's HOH reign, she felt like she was in such a good spot that she was like under the radar and people trusted her. And now she's having to pick a side and she's getting exposed. And I was frustrated by this because she's literally just got done with a conversation where Tanisha told her about the Savage Seven, where she was told, hey, prior to this HOH reign, literally prior to like yesterday, I was in a 7-person alliance. It's dead now as of yesterday because of Kyle, but I was in a 7-person majority alliance that was secret that you didn't know about and weren't a part of. And Helena's like, ah, man, Kyle really messed me. No, Kyle blew this game open for you, Helena. This isn't a bad thing. This is an opportunity. Yeah. To be more involved now, and the fact that she saw it as a bad thing is not telling me good things about where her future in the game might go. But I'm still hopeful. But that was definitely I was like, oh, Helena, you got to see this for what it is.
Yeah, this is good for you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you would just not know about this.
Chaos is a ladder.
Yeah, I was extremely surprised in that DR, actually, that thanks for bringing that up because I had completely forgotten. I was surprised that the first thing I feel like you would see in a DR is holy crap and like wacky music or something. Like, I didn't know that there was an alliance around me, that like that was the first thing I was expecting, but we didn't get that even at all. So
thank God for Kyle blowing that up for me. Like, you can still be targeting Kyle, but you can be glad that it happened, right?
Yeah, like I thought I knew where this game was, but I had no idea or something. But
exactly.
Yeah. Another question from Gino's apathy. Which house guest will get thrown under the bus the most this week? I think we have a few contenders for this.
Yeah. I feel like Moose, because it's Moose? Like, oh, well, you know, he was mad at Kyle and he started this whole thing, or even Josh, like Josh did this to save himself. Like, you know, there are so many, like, I feel like those are the top two from my perspective, but there are certainly others for sure.
Yeah. Moose could be an easy scape. Moose. That could definitely happen. And not that he did anything really, other than save himself and, you know, not go along with what the HOH wanted after he nominated him and turned on him. Herman, as we said, I think is a big option here. What do you think, Olivia?
Even just Kyle too. Like, they could just like be like, look, like all of this was due to Kyle. we didn't want, this wasn't against you. We knew you were working with Kyle. We wanted to get back at Kyle. Like, this was all against him. So we have nothing against you and Jace, like nothing against Steph even, but like, we just had to do this. Like, we figured you wouldn't want to be part of it because you're working with him. Like, just blaming Kyle. Like, this is all thanks to him. You can thank him for being on the outs. Now you can get rid of him and now we'll all work together, you know, and use that.
Yeah, I think that my number one pick is Herman, for the reasons that we talked about previously. I think just from a social game aspect, it's like, dude, what the hell? We're supposed to be friends. We're supposed to be working together. What happened? And I think that similarly would be Marty. But I still think that Herman is going to be the one that's the easy target for somebody else. If Gina were to tell them, you're going up, if it was me, I would say, well, Herman, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously Kevin and Jess are, you know, and even Helena are all people that, you know, people could try to throw under the bus. But I think the fact that people might try might actually help them because it will be very see-through. It may also, though, matter, like, how people respond. I think that there is, you know, there's a notion of, like, do you pull a Moose to some degree? Do you sort of, like, accept the blame? Yes, I turned on you. I betrayed you. That could end up opening the door for other people to like throw everything onto you. And that's very dangerous in my opinion. Or you could go too far in the other direction and try to deny too much. And that again becomes too screw. And then that opens the door for people to throw it on you. There's a fine line you have to walk, I think, between I'm being open about what I did, but it's also like, here's why it happened. And I still really want to work with you and I'm leaving this door open to work with you. And, you know, if the underlying message here is that it wasn't really my fault. And there's still something here. Because the other extremes of like, yeah, I turned on you. I guess that's the end. Or like, what are you talking about? I didn't do anything. Like those are the ones that don't work quite as well, I think. So we'll see how people respond. I am sure they all are going to have different kinds of responses between Marty and Kevin and Herman and even like Jess and Helena. I think they all will have different tactics and I think it'll be interesting to see what works best. One more question from Brian. Are you all excited to see Gino pretend he knows who Sarah Hanlon is when he gets his Wendy's this week?
Oh yeah. I'm excited to see Gino pretend to know you. I'm excited to see Gino pretend to know where he is a little bit, and you know what he's doing, and you know what this means. So I'm excited for a lot of things.
Luckily, they're not there in person, and it's just like a video recording. Because otherwise, it'd be really uncomfortable. Like, I'm sorry, who are you? And at least with the video, it's like, hey, it's Sarah here, you know, and just kind of you can.
Yeah,
kind of just repeat the name back.
We won't get one of those Cruella moments.
Who was it that
didn't recognize their mom?
Yeah, who was that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that that was the brain specialist, transformation specialist.
What was his name? Mark. Oh, no.
Big Brother Candidate 8?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was Big Brother Candidate 8. I don't remember his name. I Google brain transformation specialist, he will show up. So here we go.
It's like his name is on the tip of my tongue.
Chris.
There we go. Thank you, chat.
That was so funny.
who knew all these years later that knowing that Googling that would pull up Chris's name would be useful to me again. Classic moment on the Twitch stream. That was wild.
That's wild.
So I wonder what advice Sarah Hanlon's going to give Gino. And if he's going to take it.
I wonder if these are pre-recorded or if it's like, okay, here's the, do they say the name, right? Or do they not?
I think they do say the name. I think they do.
Then it must be like, I wonder if they can personalize the advice or if it's just very generic, like, you know, make sure you make a good alliance or whatever.
To my knowledge, if they do plan on doing winners for the rest of the season, I don't think that they've all recorded videos yet. So it would not surprise me if they are going to continue that they are recording them like, you know, at the time But they're probably reaching out like ahead of time, like a week or so or something like that to be like, hey, are you in? I mean, I don't know. Maybe they got some go aheads ahead of time. So that they made sure that they did have all the winners, but who knows?
Yeah. I mean, we know that Kyle didn't follow the advice that John gave him. So
it was kind of wild how spectacularly he went and did the exact opposite of what John told him to do. It's like,
really? It's all part of the plan.
Yeah, it's part of Kyle's plan. He's got it. He's got it.
Bigger plan.
All right, so I think that's what we have for this episode. What an episode! What a couple of episodes! What a week of Big Brother!
What a week!
Yep.
I mean, there's room for more here. I mean, this week could be very exciting. You know, let's not have our hopes too high. I think for me, I win either way. I either get to sleep or it's another big week of Big Brother. So. You know, I'm good either way. Let's, I'm ready. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anything else we want to bring up from tonight's episode?
Nothing.
I'm just excited. Honestly, I keep saying this, but I really do think that it's going to be really great storytelling for this week. And I'm hoping that the episodes keep it up because I feel like the episodes have been pretty decent as far as like accuracy. Like I said before, comparing it to previous seasons, I feel like sometimes they would even like lie to us about how something ended up happening. So hopefully they keep it up with like accuracy wise.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what we have for you tonight. I will be live tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, to update you on everything that happens tonight with the new Gino HOH, and we'll hopefully have a sense of where he's leaning with his nominations and what kind of week this might be. So lots of hopefully answers for you tomorrow morning. Tune in for that. And then I will also have an exit interview with Steph ready for you tomorrow. So check that out as well. And then, we'll be back every morning and then Monday night for the next episode of Big Brother Canada 10. So plenty of Big Brother stuff coming your way. I will also be live on Twitch watching all these episodes live with all of you. As always, tonight was very fun watching live. If you were with me as we watched the blind side happen, find me on Twitter as well at Armstrong Taren. Check out the Taren Show with Tyson. That was the latest Taren Show episode. Very fun talking to Tyson. And that's about what I've got for you. Lavina, what are you up to?
Just following some Big Brother Canada stuff, looking forward to it, looking forward to, another great week, like I said. So hopefully it is still very chaotic. You guys can follow me on Twitter at LPavs with two S's. If you like sports as well, I do a lot of tweeting about that, especially hockey. So I'll be blowing up your feeds with that and some of more Big Brother, like I said.
There you go. And of course, you can find Melissa at It's Melissa.
Stop it.
Three A's.
Yep.
Three A's. Participating in the Squid Games. So that's what we have for you. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel or the podcast feed or wherever you consume these podcasts. Thank you so much again for joining us here tonight. And we will see all of you next time.